Amen. 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 Once again, to all of our guests, thank you for being with us today. And last weekend was Friends Day, and what an outstanding day we had. I want to say a special thank you to all of you that made last week possible, to all of our volunteer team, everyone that came on Saturday in preparation for Sunday, and then on Sunday for everyone that was here early and stayed late, and everyone that helped and throughout the day and setting things up, tearing things down, and making sure the food was ready and all that kind of stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. We have a gentleman with us today who has been with us yesterday and today. And Ken Dimmer, thank you for being here. He is a sound tech and he's helping our peoples out. And I asked Kenny and Gary how they were feeling. And of course, I watched as Ken walked Ken Norris around yesterday, and they were checking stuff out and listening to things and all this. And thank you so much for being with us today. And the blessing, the help that he is to us, getting everything lined out and helping us all learn something else. Amen. I am honestly and truly blessed with two great parents. My mom and dad, who have raised me in the fear and the knowledge of God, and who not only to me by word, but also by deed. And I know for a fact that in my years growing up, this is something I did not take after my father in. He is an early riser. He was up at 5 o'clock this morning answering emails and all this other jazz. And he said he's too busy. I said, yeah, that's why, you know, you shouldn't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You wouldn't be as busy. But I know from both of them that prayer has most definitely been part of their life. I have been able to observe firsthand the life that they live. Perfect? No, because none of us are. But yet always pushing and always driving to do better. Over 20 years it was that my parents were in the country of El Salvador, built a fabulous church, both of them together. Not only one, but both of them working side by side. And in fact, my mom is, one day we were building the church in San Salvador, and they needed some sand brought in for concrete mix. And the individual who drove the truck didn't show up that day, or something happened. So mom said, that's great, I'll do it. Well, my mom is vertically challenged. And she got in there and she scooted up as close as she could to that clutch and that brake and accelerator. And she drove that beat up old truck. And it wasn't just a F-150, 250. No, no, no. This is a big truck, like a flatbed dump truck. I mean, this was the big deal. So she drove it down there to the side of a big old ravine, and them guys by hand shoveled however many yards of sand they put in that thing, and she drove it back, and they were all blown away by it. But my mom and dad, and they have definitely been great people used by the kingdom. In fact, mom, why don't you stand so everybody knows who you are? This is my mother, Diane Howell, and so honored to have them with us today. And they are fill the position of global or executive director of global ministries for the United Pentecostal Church International. You're in your 13th year. You start your 14th year of being in that position, which is, I didn't know it was that long. It's gone by fast. But they oversee missionaries in around 207 countries. How many missionaries is it total? 886 missionaries around the world that he and mom oversee, and doing a fabulous job. It's a big job. It's a big responsibility. But just to still a little thunder, this past Wednesday night, they had their global mission service. And they had a goal of $4.4 million that they needed in order for this next year for everything. You're dealing with, you know, 800 missionaries in 207 countries, almost 900 missionaries in 207 countries. That's a big budget. Real big budget. And by the grace of God, they raised, if everything goes, it's going to be over $5 million that'll come in once everything is said and done. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. He's more than enough. So one more time, why don't we stand to our feet? Let's put our hands together. Let's welcome this man of God to this pulpit. Dad, take your liberty. We're hungry. We want a word from God. Love you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated for just one second. I want to say thank you so very much to my son, my daughter-in-law, Jared and Loida. I love them very much. And of course, Judah, Bella, and Zoe. And it's just a great honor to be here today. I know some of you may not know a lot about our organization as far as the details of how things work. And I do thank God that God allowed us to be missionaries to the country of El Salvador and then additionally to Honduras for 20 years. 2 years I served as regional director for Central America, Caribbean, and Mexico. And then in the last 13th year, I'll start my 14th year as general director of global missions, used to be called foreign missions. And I thank God for what He is doing around the world. I remember that when we began to travel and work in this position, we had churches in 146 nations at that time. We have seen the work grow now to over 200 and 207 to be exact territories, nations and territories. On that list would be places like Macau and Hong Kong and Puerto Rico that are really territories of other countries. But I thank God for what He has done. And then I thank the Lord for the great revival that has taken place. We just had our general conference of our church in North America, United States and Canada, this week. In fact, normally, I would never do a trip like this right after general conference. But for my son, I will do that. Hallelujah. And in fact, yesterday, when we got on the airplane, I don't remember much about it. I think I slept the entire time, even before it took off. And then got up this morning, had a few emails to do and a few things to report. And let me just say, I just received a report this morning from Ukraine. And I know you've heard a lot of things about Ukraine, but I want you to know, just received a report this morning, it looks like 5 brand new churches are coming in right now in Ukraine. In fact, one of the churches is very near where the fighting is going on, and I thank God for revival in Ukraine. Also received a report from Poland this morning. Also received a report from Thailand. And these are great things. And then where else? I don't have them printed out. Didn't have my printer. Received a report from also from the Solomon Islands. Just had a conference there. I think there were around 600 people on that small island, the Solomon Islands. Very primitive. And if I'm not mistaken, I think there was between 30 and 50 that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that conference. Also received a report from from Hong Kong. Received a report from Hong Kong. But I thank God for what God is doing around the world. And then on Wednesday night, the offering that we received was cash and pledges to be paid within the next 3 months. Now, our annual budget this year was $30 million, and what we're trying to do is create a new paradigm or a parallel paradigm that will go with what we call partners in missions. You may not know what that is. That's where churches take on missionaries to support monthly, and I want to thank you because I just looked at the giving. My folder would not open for this present year, but I want to thank you for well over $12,000 that this church has given just to help those missionaries. And I thank you on behalf of those missionaries. And that is Partners in Missions. But what we're trying to do is create a paradigm now, parallel paradigm for cash, where we can send people back. And I'm glad to tell you, and if you don't understand all the administration, you wouldn't understand what this means. But on Wednesday night, if all of that comes in, we will send back. Our goal was to send 26 missionaries back. But really, if all of that comes in, we will send much more than 26 missionaries back to their field, which is a tremendous victory. A tremendous victory. Just appointed new missionaries, and I thank God for what He is doing. And I want to say, I thank God for my family, my wife. I love her very much. She's very much a part of what's going on. And I thank the Lord for what He's doing around the world. I'll share some testimonies with you this morning about what God is doing. But there are great things going on around the world. But you know what? I'm glad for what I feel here this morning. I said, I'm glad for what I feel here. And I know that God wants to touch each and every one of us, and I pray that God will bless us. In fact, this Friday, my wife and I leave to go to Tennessee, and then from there we go to Tanzania. We'll be in Tanzania. Would you like to send greetings to your brothers and sisters in Tanzania? Hallelujah. And then from Tanzania, my wife will come back and I go on to Indonesia. Would you like to say hi to the folks in Indonesia? Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. But I'm glad to tell you that we have over right at 2,000 churches in Indonesia. And I'll be traveling out. A couple of years ago, because of the times in Alexandria, there was a man, a Chinese man in Indonesia that's not a member of the church. He said, if you will give money to build churches, I will match the money. And we raised somewhere around $100,000 or $200,000. He has matched that. And I'm going to go see several of those buildings that we were able to build in Indonesia. And I wish I could take you all with me. Some of you probably wouldn't want to go. But I do thank God for the opportunity to go to Indonesia. We have a great church there. I do want to thank you for praying as we begin to look at the Word of God in Mark chapter 4. I'm not going to preach long, but I do want to say thank you for praying for our church around the world. In fact, we have a pastor. We have a United Pentecostal Church in Mosul, which you have heard about ISIS. That's where a lot of the attacks are taking place. Thank God our people are okay, but they are in hiding. And I would ask that you would please pray for them. They are beheading Christians in that area, and I would ask that you would please pray for them. Also, as well as in Liberia, we have a church of over 100,000 just in Liberia, and we have a medical clinic, sorry to say, that is closed because our medical director contracted Ebola. I wish I could tell you that God healed her and she was healed. She was not. She passed away. Her daughter is also ill, and we've lost two other members of our medical clinic there. Would you help me pray for the people in West Africa? Would you please help us pray for them that God will bless them? Our missionaries have not left. I told them if they felt they needed to leave, they could leave, but they're still there. And I would ask that you would please pray for our churches in those three countries of Guinea, of Sierra Leone, as well as Liberia. We have large churches in all of that area, and they need our prayers. But I'd like to tell you, sorry about the negative things. And I don't understand, but Brother Stewart told me as well, there have been many miraculous healings of people that had Ebola, and God miraculously heal them. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. I said, that's the God we serve. Well, let's all stand together right now, if you don't mind, for honoring the word of the Lord in Mark chapter 4 and beginning with verse 35. God bless all of you that are visiting with us today. Isn't it great to be at Chapel North? Isn't it great to be at Chapel North? Beautiful music. God bless you. Hallelujah. If you've come here with a need in your life, I've come to tell you God's here to supply that need. God is here to supply your need. If you believe that, would you shout, yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The wind and the sea obey him. I would like for you to notice, especially in verse 38, if we could scroll back to that verse. Verse 38, the Bible says, And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And of course, that is in terminology of the King James Version of the Bible, interpretation of the Bible. But in common language, it would probably just simply be, does God really care? Master, do you really care about us and know where we are? And that's what I want to preach on for just a few moments. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege to be able to minister to those that are here now. I ask you, God, that you would reach out and that you would touch each and every one. And before I finish today, please allow me to answer this question. And I know that everybody knows what I'm going to say, but I pray as I reach that point that I would be able to say some things that would cause them to realize that many times we're in the midst of a storm and we do have questions that arise in our life. Bless and anoint the preaching of the word. Touch everyone that is here, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And before you're seated, take somebody's hand and just simply ask them the question, do you really think God cares? And you may be seated. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, this is the question that comes to our minds really in the dark night. To be very honest with you, I'm going to be transparent today, but a few weeks ago, and I have visited our medical clinic in Liberia. I have been there, and I thank God for it, and I saw the hospital beds, and I met the director, who was a nurse. I remember her very well. When I received the word just a few days ago that she had contracted Ebola and she passed away, can I be very honest with you? I thought, God, why did that happen? I don't understand why that took place. Because, you know, even those of us that serve God and that have served God for many years, there are moments in our lives that we have the question that comes to our mind, God, do you really care? Do you really know where I am? Now, I don't know, maybe there are some of you here today that are on a spiritual level that I'm not on. And maybe you've never had that question. But there are moments that I wonder, God, why did this happen? And do you really care? And I believe that if we're honest with each other today, I believe that all of us would have to say that there are moments that the question comes to our mind, God, do you really care? As I think about some of the things around the world and the situations, because you see the mother who holds a little body in her hands that has just taken its last breath, and that mother holds that baby, there's no doubt in her mind she has the question, God, do you really care? Do you really know where I am? On Friday evening at 6:00, there was a memorial service at General Conference. We have somewhere around 9,600 ministers just in North America. And in that group, there were 64 that we were remembering that died this last year. I saw the pictures of people like James Kilgore and Jesse Williams, who used to be our assistant superintendents. And I know some of you don't know them, but these are great men of God that I've had a privilege of knowing and being able to learn from them. And then I saw pictures of spouses and lady ministers as well as others. You wonder sometimes, God, what really is going on? And we don't understand that, because I remember just a few short days ago as I went to Fayetteville, North Carolina for Jesse Williams' funeral. I saw his wife there, Sister Williams, who is having a terrible time. They were married, I think, 67 years. And really a relationship in marriage like you hardly find anywhere. And right now she's struggling so bad. And I know Sister Sue Williams right now in her mind, she wonders, God, do you really know where I am? And do you really care? Forgive me for the reference, but I, with these two eyes, have seen over 500,000 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I've been in services where I have seen literally thousands of people make their way to an altar, and I've seen them touched. I have remember in Belize, and I could give you testimony. Can I share some with you? I don't know how long I'm going to preach, but I feel comfortable today. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad General Conference is over. In fact, I feel like shouting hallelujah. I'm glad it's all over. I'm glad I don't have any more banquets to go to. I'm glad I don't have to meet the youth committee. Thank God they gave us $686,000. Hallelujah. Don't have to meet the ladies. They gave us, I think, $375,000 to buy appliances for the missionaries. I thank God for all of that. But you know what I thank God more than anything is that I'm able to be here today and feel the presence of God.
Because what good is all of that if we are not saved and are not ready to go to heaven? I said, what good is all of that? Hallelujah. But I want you to know that I've seen some great things. I remember in Belize, a lady came in the Indian area in a wheelchair. And you know what God did? God touched her and healed her. And I saw her get up out of the wheelchair and begin to dance around. Do y'all dance ever? Do you dance around here? I'm not talking about, you know, with the cha-cha-cha. Hallelujah. I like to dance. Praise God. I said, I like to dance. In fact, on Wednesday night when we raised that money, I might as well scare some of you. Will I scare you? Hallelujah. I told him, I said, you know what? I feel like running the aisles. And you know what I did at General Conference? I ran the aisles. Some of you don't even know what that is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember doing it. But I'm an executive. I'm probably number 5 in the organization. And I guess I'm supposed to stand around and just act like a bump on a log. Well, I can't do that. Because you know what? I was lost and I'm found. I was blind and now I see, and I love to worship Him. Now, you don't have to run the aisles. You don't even have to dance. But it makes me want to dance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I remember seeing that little lady in Belize get up out of the wheelchair. I remember going to Calcutta, India, where I preached, and I was sick as a dog. And I won't tell you what I had, but you can use your imagination. Hallelujah. When I go to India, all I have to do is breathe the air and I get sick. Hallelujah. And I was there and I preached, and everybody was sitting on the floor, and I was so sick and was trying to figure out where the bathroom was to get there real fast. And I preached and it was a mess. I didn't do a good job. I mean, the preaching was. Hallelujah. I didn't do a good job. But at the end of that service, all of the ladies and men and the men were on the floor, and I saw several ladies with a little red dot in their forehead. You know what that meant? They were Hindu. And I remember as I saw one of those little ladies begin to dance and jump. She began to jump because God filled her with the Holy Ghost. But not only did God fill her with the Holy Ghost, she was blind. She came blind. And in that service that night, God opened her blinded eyes. Hallelujah. And you want me to stand around here today like some big highfalutin executive from headquarters and not worship God? I've come to tell you, I've come to praise the name of the Lord. I've come to praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then I've seen so many things. When I was in Ethiopia, people that were raised from the dead. Thailand, a lady cataracts literally fell off of her eyes. I've seen people get up and walk. I've seen God fill people with the Holy Ghost. And when they received the Holy Ghost in several countries, I've heard them. They spoke no English. But when God filled them with the Holy Ghost, I heard them praising God in perfect English. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost is not real. Don't tell me that God is not able to touch. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So when you see those things, I want you to know I thank God for what He has done. But then you see people, a man on the street, trying to raise enough money to be able to buy food for his family. In fact, when I was in St. Louis, where our general conference was, every morning I went out jogging and walking, and there are the Methodist church I noticed, and then there's, I think, another church downtown, and there were the people on the street that don't have enough to eat, and I saw them with their sons. Don't tell me that in their mind they don't have the question, does God really care? The young man on the street or in the bus or on the subway or maybe out in the middle of the country in a small town, they're alone and they don't have anybody to care about them. The young people in a society that we live in North America that seemingly has lost its way and God is no longer number one in our lives. We wonder, does God really care? A child who has just heard their father beat their mother. And then he comes out and says he loves the children. In the mind of that child, I want you to know, Brother Smith, they have the question, does God really care about me? Does God really know where I am? Hallelujah. I want you to know we do have the question. And even seeing the things that I see, there are moments that I wonder, God, do you really care about me? Do you really know where I am? I don't believe it's an accident that God gave me this message to preach, because I believe I'm preaching to somebody today. And whether it be right now or whether it will be next week or whether it was a couple of days ago, you wonder, does God really care about me? Does He really know where I am? Hallelujah. Does God really care? Does he know? You see, that was the question that was on the mind and on the lips of the disciples that day in the storm. Jesus had just taught on the grain of mustard seed. And he said, let's go to the other side. Jesus was in one of the many boats that took them to the other side. Did you hear what I said? He was in one of several of the boats. There just wasn't one boat. There were several boats. And they were making their way to the other side. Can I be honest with you? They still had the crumbs of the miracle on their clothes. They still remembered, and maybe as they saw the miracle of what God had, what Jesus had done, they still had the smell of food on them. But the storm came, and the wind was blowing, and the lightning was flashing, and the waves were coming over the side of the boat. And Jesus was asleep in one of the boats. The others were around. Can you imagine? And we do have the story of the boat where Jesus was asleep. Can you imagine how the guys felt in the other boat where Jesus wasn't even there? At least in the boat that we have the story about, he was at least in the boat, but he was asleep. He wasn't even in some of the other boats, and it was in the midst of that that one of them say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, do you know where we are? Do you really care about us? And today I come with that question to ask you, does God really care? Does God really care? Does he really know where I am? Is there really any hope? Is there really any hope? And Jesus, the Bible says, hallelujah, there was a lady. The Bible tells us about a Samaritan woman who had been married 5 times, and she went and was brought there to where Jesus was. And they were ready to stone her. As they brought her to that place, they had stones in their hand, and they were ready to stone the woman because she had 5 husbands and she had been caught in the act of adultery. I want you to know, as they began to tell Jesus, what should we do with her? Should we stone her? She stood there and she began to feel the pain of the sin in her life. She began to face again the guilt that she faced all of the time, and they were ready to stone her. I've come to preach to somebody today. Hallelujah. We don't come here with stones in our hand to condemn you today. I said, we do not come here today to set ourselves up as the great and the mighty ones that have never made a mistake. But we come here today to tell you, hallelujah, ask the lady that was brought to Jesus, does he care? Ask the lady that was brought to Jesus, does he care? Jesus looked at them and said, if you have no sin in your life, then cast the first stone. The Bible says, and it doesn't give the details of it, but there's no doubt at that moment, the thud of rocks dropping began to be heard. Rocks began to drop out of their hands. The hands, son, that they had closed around the rock, it began to open up and the stone dropped out. Because there was nobody there that could say, we have not sinned. May I tell you right now, look at my hand. It's not closed around a stone. Because I cannot tell you today that I come here, hallelujah, with a perfect life, because I do not. But I come here today to tell you my hand is open, because I cast no stone at you, because Jesus will not cast a stone at you. Hallelujah. And I don't know. Hallelujah. I get excited when I preach. Can you tell? Hallelujah. I get excited. But I want you to know, I thank God. Hallelujah. That when Jesus looked at her, they dropped the stones and they walked away. Would you listen to me? You know what Jesus was more interested in? Those of us in the church today would have had our committee set up, and we would have known how to put discipline on her and to set her down and mistreat her. But I want you to know, I believe, and excuse my theology, but I believe that Jesus was more interested in her not feeling condemnation than he was with her sin. I said, I believe Jesus was more interested in her not feeling condemnation. I've come to tell you today, Jesus loves you. I've come to tell you today, Jesus loves you. And he knows about you. I don't come to judge you today because of the way you're dressed. I don't come to judge you today because of things that are going on in your life. You know what I come to tell you? I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. He gave me hope when I had no hope. I said he gave me hope when I had no hope. Hallelujah. Young people or students or whatever you call them. Hallelujah. I don't know. But I'm 60. I don't know all that new terminology. In fact, it was hilarious on the board. What did they say? They said something in the general board this week. Somebody did. And most of the guys in the board didn't understand. There's about 100 of us on there. And they used some terminology that most people didn't even understand what they were saying. Hallelujah. So whatever they call you, I want you to know I never had a mom to take me to church. I never had a dad mom that really lived together. I mean, till I was 3 and then they divorced and then my dad died when I was 10. I know what it's like to go to church in spite of my mom. I know what it's like to fight to believe what I believe. And I remember making mistakes and sitting right on the front row like you. And the devil would tell me, you can't worship God. You can't raise your hands because you have messed up. But you know what I did anyway? In my ignorance, because I didn't know everything. I raised my hands anyway and said, God, I know I failed you, but I'm going to worship you anyway, because you know what? I felt hope in Jesus. I felt the love of Jesus. I said I felt hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands and thank God for it right now? We love you, Jesus. 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 Come on, let's raise our hands and worship him right now. We love you, God. We worship you and we magnify you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We worship you, God, because you know what? God is not interested in condemning us. Please listen to me. And I believe we ought to live a good life and all that stuff. But I've come to tell you today, it's not based upon my effort. It's not based upon what I do, but it's based upon what he has done for us. Hallelujah. And Jesus was more concerned about her condemnation. He didn't tell her, go out there now and you behave yourself. First of all, that's not what he said to her. He did not say, get out there and get your act straightened up. Get out there and do what you're supposed to do. Hallelujah. The Bible says he looked at her and said, go on. I don't condemn you. That's right. Don't sin anymore. But I do not condemn you. May I tell you today, we do not come here today to condemn you. We do not come here today to set ourselves up as the great and mighty ones. There's only one that's great and mighty. And he loves you and he does care. I said he does care. Are you glad for that? Are you glad he cares? Can you at least smile if you're glad? Can you at least clap your hand or raise your hand or do something? Let's come on. Are you glad? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Samaritan woman, hallelujah, she thought he was going to judge me, but that didn't happen. He talked about water. Hallelujah. And that day she said, nobody cares if I die in this sun. Who cares? She did not find judgment. She found forgiveness. She didn't find condemnation. I believe Jesus, once again, I repeat it, and it's not by accident, that Jesus was concerned more about the condemnation than she felt that the sin she had committed, because he knew if she could realize that he did not condemn her, she would have the power to overcome the sin. I cannot overcome sin in my own power. But when I realize what he has done, I said, when I really realize what he has done, it lets me overcome. Can you say amen? He wants you to sit there and feel like you're not worthy to raise your hands to worship him. You know what? I'm not either. But you know what? He is worthy. Hallelujah. And you know who I am dressed in today? I'm dressed in his righteousness. I said, I'm dressed in his righteousness. Hallelujah. That's the reason I can rejoice in him. And when the enemy tells me not to dance, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dance anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the devil tells me not to do what I need to do, then I'm going to do it anyway. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's raise our hands and worship him right now. We love you, Jesus. 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 She undoubtedly asked, does God care? And as she walked away, he had spoken to her and revealed who he was. Hallelujah. Ask her today, did Jesus care? ask her today, did Jesus care? Let me tell you about Dinora. Can we have the picture of Dinora, please? Dinora was a lady in El Salvador who lived in a war-torn part of the country. Dinora was a lady that lived in an area when the war was going on. And they told her, take your family and get out. Her husband was there and he would not leave the house because all they had in that area of El Salvador was just a few animals. And he knew if he left that he would not have anything left. He sent his family out along with the little boy you see and the rest of the family. They left. And when they left, the military came through in what was called a cleanup operation. And they killed everybody in the area. Dinora kept waiting to hear from her husband, and she did not. She went in, and when she went into that area, she found her husband's dead body, at least what was left of it, because the dogs and the pigs and the buzzards had eaten most of his body. And she found his body there. She was not a Christian, and she took and buried what was left of his body. She then went to the city of San Salvador to live with her mother. And as she lived there, she faced the jealousy of one sister that wanted to inherit everything the mom had. During the war, it was very common for death squads to come. And it wasn't all war related. You could hire a death squad very cheaply to come. And for about $50, her own sister put a contract out on her life. And they came that night and took her out of the house with a bag on her head. When they took her out into the country to shoot her, she told the men that were there, and they didn't know really what was going on completely. They knew they had been contracted. But they took her and they put a bag on her head. One of the guys was selected to be the one to take her into the country and to shoot her. He took her out with the gun and was going to shoot her. And she begged him. She said, please, would you please take the bag off of my head before you shoot me? And he took the bag off of her head. He didn't realize who she was, and she sure didn't know him. And when she took the bag off, and when he took the bag off of her head, he recognized who she was, and she recognized him. She said, if you will shoot in the air, tell me what's going on. And he said, your own sister has put a contract out on your life. Can you imagine how she felt? Her husband was killed. She lost everything and went to live with her mother. Does God really care? Does God really care? And you think you're going through something, and you may be going through something that bad. And you ask the question, does God really care? And then when the bag was taken off of her head, she recognized him. And he did do what she asked. He fired in the air and she screamed. She disappeared and went into the interior of the country. And one day, as she was there, she was living, trying to do her best, but she couldn't make it hardly. And she was walking down the street and saw her sister. Her sister thought she was dead. And when she saw her sister went, ah! And literally fainted on the street because she thought her sister was dead. I don't know the details of what she thought, but she was very startled, to say the least. Well, Dinora went back into the city. And when she did, she lived in a little tin shack. I was just in El Salvador a few weeks ago, and I went to the market where she sold in the market. She's still there. Hallelujah. And I remember as I walked past where she was selling, I saw her there. But you see, that was just the second thing that happened. Can you imagine the question she had in her mind? Does God really care? Does God really know where I am? I want you to know this morning, somebody may be asking, does God care? Ask the Samaritan woman. Ask the lady I told you about today, does God care? Does God care? And so Dinora, I want you to know, she went and began to sell. She found out her little boy, Chamba, or Salvador, that stands beside her, he began to get sick. They didn't know what was going on. She took him to the poor people's children's hospital. And when she did, they examined little Chamba or Salvador. And they looked at her and said, we're sorry. He has leukemia. There's no hope for him. Take him back home. She took him home, and in the little tin house she lived in with a dirt floor, he began to get more sick and more sick. He was in a coma on the bed. All they had in the house to eat was a dry Salvadorian tortilla. That's not a Mexican tortilla. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. But it's better. Praise God. And of course, I'm not prejudiced. Hallelujah. But that's all they had in the house. But she did save enough money to buy rat poison, because she said, when my son dies, I'm taking the rat poison and I'm going to finish my life off. She was not a Christian. She stepped out of the house that afternoon. Little Chamba was on the bed in a coma. He had not eaten for several days and he was in a coma on the bed. She stepped out of the house and she heard some singing. Alabare, alabare, alabare. She heard some singing in a house nearby and she began to listen to it. The rat poison was in the house. She was ready to end her life because she didn't think anybody cared for her. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you'll face tomorrow. Hallelujah. But would you listen to me? And she went up to that house. I wish I could tell you it was one of the deacons of our church that was in the meeting. It was not. It wasn't even one of the pastors of the church. You know who it was? It was a 16-year-old girl that was holding services in that house. Students, don't tell me you can't do something. Hallelujah. Don't tell me you can't do something. You can do something. And so she went into that little house. And when she did, she felt the power of God for the first time in her life. Tears began to stream down her face. She knelt on a dirt floor in another little humble house near hers. And she began to pray. And she asked God to help her. And you know what God did? He just walked off and forgot her. No, he didn't. Hallelujah. The power of God touched her. She raised her hands and you know what happened? She began to worship God. She began to say, Gloria a Dios, te alabo, Señor. Te glorifico, bendito es tu nombre. If you don't know what that is, ask Jared. He'll tell you. I'm Pastor Jared. He'll tell you. Hallelujah. She began to worship God. And then in a moment, she began to speak in another language that is not English or Spanish. It was a heavenly language. God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She walked out of the little house to go back to see where he is, was, to find out where Chamba was, expecting to see him laying on the bed. She walked in the little hut, and when she did, she looked at the bed. You know what? Chamba wasn't laying on the bed. You know where he was? He was sitting at the little humble table in their house. He had the only dry tortilla they had in the house, and he was trying to eat it, because when God touched her and filled her with the Holy Ghost, that same Spirit of God went into that little house, and God touched him and miraculously healed him of leukemia. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I remember when we baptized her. And I want you to know Chamba's now older. He's probably a very young man now. Hallelujah. And he's preaching the word of God. Does God care? I said, does God care? I want you to know God cares. And I saw her, as I said, just a few weeks ago in the market, and there she still is, and serving God because God does care. Would you raise your hands with me and thank him for caring? I love you, Jesus. 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 Does God care? Oh, yes, God cares. I said, oh, yes, God cares. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to preach too long. Hallelujah. But I want you to know God does care about us. I said he does care about us and he wants to touch you. What do you have need of today? Would you raise your hands and talk to the Lord? If you've got a need in your life or you know someone that has a need, would you raise your hands and ask God for your need or for somebody else? God, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus to reach out and touch. Lord, I love you, Jesus. 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 Ask the mother in the Bible, hallelujah, whose son was on the funeral bed walking down the street. She said, I'm abandoned. I have nothing. Ask her if Jesus cared when he touched the dead young man and the son of the widow lady and he came back to life. Did Jesus care? Oh, yes, Jesus cared. Let me tell you, would you put the picture up of the boy being baptized? Hallelujah. I don't have time to tell the whole story, but when that boy right there that I'm baptizing was an infant, a cart fell on his head and a nail went in the top of his head. His mother had to pull the ox cart off of his head with his head literally nailed to the ox cart. His brains came out of his head. She wrapped her arms around him and ran to the hospital. And by the time she got there, the body was no longer moving of that infant child. She went to her pastor's house after with the dead body in her arms, because that's the way you do in those countries. She was going to have to go buy the little casket and bury the baby within 24 hours. But you know what? When she went to the pastor's house, Pastor Jared, Brother Quinones, whom you know very well, he's now deceased, but he was praying, and God said, somebody's coming by. Does God care? I said, does God care? God cares. Hallelujah. Now, I'm sorry. I'm old-fashioned Pentecostal. I'm about to have a spell. Hallelujah. Y'all know what a spell is? They call us holy rollers. I promise, son, I won't roll on the floor. Hallelujah. But you know what? If I want to and feel like doing it, I will. Because there was a lot of people doing crazy stuff yesterday because Ole Miss won. My wife's from Mississippi. Hallelujah. Some of you Ohio State fans were happy because they won. But you know what? There's something greater here today, and I'm not against football, but there's something greater here. Hallelujah. If they can act that way over a pigskin, I can sure act crazy over God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, Brother Quinones laid his hand on the head of that little child and prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And you know what God did? God raised that little boy from the dead. I said God raised him from the dead. That heart that wasn't pumping began to pump. That body that was cold got warm. Hallelujah. Does God care? I said, does God care? And you know the reason I've got that picture there? I hardly ever baptize, because we baptized nearly 100,000 people, and I didn't do baptize, and I had assistants to do it and all of that. But in that convention, I said, if anybody wants to be baptized, I'll baptize. And I was in the swimming pool in Sonsonate baptizing. And when I was baptizing him, I didn't know who he was. And somebody on the edge of the pool said, that's him. I said, him? We've got thousands of people in the church. Who is him? They said, this is the boy that was raised from the dead. And they told me that when God healed him of that, God healed him and there was no scar in the top of his head. And so you know what I was looking at when I brought him up out of the water? I'm sorry. I wasn't looking at him. I was looking at the top of his head to see if there was a scar. And you know what? There wasn't a scar in the top of his head. Does God care? I said, does God care? Oh, yes, God cares. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what scars the enemy has placed in your life. But I've come to tell you, God is here today to touch you. Son, I don't know if you were still in El Salvador when the two guys from the gang, different gangs, were saved. Francisco and another one. They hated each other and were trying to kill each other. But I'll never forget the day they came to the altar from Mexicanos. And God saved them and filled them with the Holy Ghost. And two guys that were trying to kill each other in the gangs, they were there in the altar hugging each other, saying, brother, I love you.
That's right. Come on.
Does God care? I said, does God care? Oh, yes, God cares. I said, oh, yes, God cares. Would you raise your hands and worship him with me right now? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Ask the 10 lepers if God cares. Ask the 10 lepers if God cares. Hallelujah. The 10 lepers that have the scars on their body and the leprosy that nobody wanted to be around them. Would you listen to me today? And I'm working this in. This isn't in my notes, I don't think. But I felt led, Jared. I talked to you about it this week. You know what? We have the idea that God loves us based upon what we do. Based upon me living a good life. And based upon what I do and what I try to live a good life, would you listen to me? God loves you. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. Before we were saved, God loves us. But we have the false concept that when we sin, God throws us out and his love just goes up and down and changes. That when I'm sinning, God does not love me. Can I tell you, that is a lie from the pits of hell. God loves you before you came to him. And just because you got saved doesn't mean his love changes. Did you hear what I said? It doesn't mean that it's any more after you get saved than it was before you're saved. But we have the false concept that if I make a mistake, God rejects me and does not love me. That is not true. God loves you just as much as he did before you came to him as when you are sinning. I want you to catch that one. I said he loves you just as much when you are sinning as he did before you came to him. And he loves you just as much afterwards, because if we can realize that, it gives us power to live. It gives us power to overcome. It's not based upon my good act. Now that doesn't mean it's a license of sin, and I'm not getting into all that. But I want you to know, I thank God today that God loves me no matter what. I said, God loves me no matter what. And when you come into that realization, he gives you the power to overcome, because we realize that we are dressed in the righteousness of Christ, as Romans teaches it. And I don't want to get too theological, but imputation and justification. And I'm sorry, some of you don't even know what that is. Hallelujah. But what it literally means is that God gives us his righteousness. You know who I am today? I'm not God. I'm not a Mormon. Sorry. But I am dressed, hallelujah, in God's righteousness. I am robed in God's righteousness. Probably shouldn't have said that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, I am dressed in God's righteousness. When people look at me, I want them to see Jesus in me. And I'll explain that comment afterwards. Hallelujah. If you need me to do it theologically, praise God. You know what I'm talking about? I'm referring to the Mormons. Hallelujah. Because they believe that we become gods. I do not believe that we become gods. Is that all right? I believe that we are dressed in the righteousness of Christ. I said, I believe that we are dressed in his justice. Let's raise our hands and worship him right now. We love you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Sister Grace, put the picture of Christopher up there. Hallelujah. Christopher is from Nigeria. Christopher was a student in the Bible school. Hallelujah. I want you to know he was enrolled and he was the valedictorian of his class. God directed him to start a church. And when he did, Christopher was young, inexperienced, and penniless, and relied on God to direct his footsteps. Since there were no finances for a building, even no finances for chairs or anything like that, God led him. And just don't change the picture till I tell you. Hallelujah. God led him to start the church under a massive umbrella tree in Nigeria. In those first days, under that tree, it was remarkably functional for the purpose. The branches protected the people from the hot tropical sun, and above ground root structure provided chairs for those that came to church. Hallelujah. In one of their services, there was a message in tongues and interpretation, the gifts of the Spirit. And God promised that people would come from far and wide to worship with them under that tree. Today, people have come from three different continents to worship God in that little village. Does God care? Hallelujah. Also, God warned them that they would have to endure suffering and hardship and much opposition. Christopher ministered to his flock on the weekends, went to Bible school during the week. When he first brought the message of Jesus' name baptism to the people, they resisted. Soon after, about 45 were baptized in the name of Jesus. The Gospel of Mark records the promise of Christ that signs and wonders will follow them that believe him. And during those early days of ministry, God operated in the realm of the miraculous. Records indicate that at least 60 were healed and they are delivered from the demons. 3 were raised from the dead. I said 3 were raised from the dead. God continued to pour out his Spirit. Hallelujah. And as prophesied, then persecution came in many forms. One night, Esther was praying and God revealed her the next night somebody was going to do something to them. She was walking to church ahead of her husband when all of a sudden the gunman came out with a gun and pointed it at her. When he did, she had been forewarned by the Holy Ghost. Does God care? She took her finger and pointed it at him and rebuked him in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? He began to tremble. The gun fell out of his hand. And when Christopher walked up behind her, he began to run off because he was so embarrassed. Does God care? I said, does God care? God cares. Hallelujah. So that night, God miraculously touched her. God had given Christopher and Esther another great victory. Here's the congregation under the tree. Hallelujah. Here they are. Change the picture. There is the tree where they worship God. On another occasion, enemies of the church set a beehive up in that tree. And the beehive was brought down during a Sunday worship service. And the angry bees began to swarm everywhere. But you know what happened? Miraculously, not one person was stung. all of them began to drop one by one, and every bee fell dead to the ground. And you want me to stand here today and act like a bump on a log? You want me to just stand by in the pulpit and give you a little sermonette? I've come to tell you, God cares. I said, I've come to tell you, God cares. I don't know what you're going through. Hallelujah. But I've gone through some things where I felt like somebody had lowered a beehive on me. But you know what? I thank God I've seen bees drop to the ground and God gave me the victory. The next plague that came to Esther and Christopher was a plague of snakes. They set forth, and if you've never seen the vipers, in fact, yesterday when I cleaned the basket out of my pool, I don't know what kind of snake it was, but there was a dead one there. Thank God. But snakes, she woke up in the middle of the night. God warned her, and on the bed was a viper. And she rebuked it in the name of Jesus. She wasn't able to catch it. I don't think she wanted to. Hallelujah. But it slithered off the bed and disappeared. The next time, there was another snake in the house. And they saw it. But that time, the viper bit Christopher. He should have died within a few minutes. Did you hear what I said? He should have died. I said he should have died. You know what? Some of you think the devil wants you to sit there and say you don't have a reason to worship God, but God cares. I said God cares. He didn't get sick. He didn't even have to go to the doctor. Nothing happened to him, and he kept on preaching the word of God. I've come to tell Chapel North today, we've got victory in the name of Jesus. There's been growth. And I thank God for it. I see it. But you know what? God wants to fill every one of these chairs with somebody. I said, God wants to fill these chairs. Some of them, when they come, won't smell too good. But you love them anyway. Hallelujah. Some of them will come with their lives all messed up, but love them anyway. Some of them will come like I came from a house where my mama had been married 5 times. But you know what? Today, I'm worshiping God because I've come to tell you, God cares. I said, God cares. Maybe the next time I come, I'll preach a message on what moves me and show you some pictures of the places I've been around the world, over 150 countries that I've visited, places that you can't imagine, wonders of the world. And I talk about my background as a coal mining kid from Southern Illinois and what God has done in my life. Does God care? I want you to know God cares. Hallelujah. I stayed in some of the nicest hotels in the world, but that's not the greatest thing. The greatest thing is to know somebody like Christopher and these people. Just a few days ago, I was in Zambia when we declared the work nationalized and elected a Zambian president of our church. You should have seen them dance when we announced. Folks, if you've never been to Africa, you don't know what dancing's all about. They get with it, let me tell you. And I love it. Can you tell I love it? Hallelujah. I was in South Korea, and they dance in South Korea too. Very reserved people. When the Holy Ghost hit them, they dance. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's been good. I said, God has been good. Would you listen to me right now? God cares about you. I don't know what you're going through, but don't leave this place today without allowing the Spirit of God to touch you. I'm here to pray with you. There's others that are here to pray with you. There's hope in Jesus Christ. I said, there's hope. I'm sorry. I'm preaching too long. Hallelujah. I'll try to finish real fast. Is that all right? So Christopher kept on preaching the word of God. Nigeria is a semi-tropical climate. And you know what? It has a 6-month rainy season. They were under that tree for 6 years. 6 years. It never rained upon them one time. It would rain up till time for church and stop. They'd have church, and then afterwards it would start raining, but it never rained on them one time. You may not believe that, but that's just your loss and my gain. Hallelujah. Because that's the God that I serve. Does God care? I said, does God care? Oh, yes, God cares. Christopher can testify about the things that I'm telling you. They lived in a little 2-room mud block hut about 50 feet from the tree with no financial help from the missionary. Did you hear what I said? No help from the missionary. And he could have got an attitude about it, but he didn't. You know why? Hallelujah. because he believed God. He could have turned around when the gunman came. He could have left when the beehive was lowered. He could have left when the snakes were in the house. But you know what? He knew God cared, and he just kept on plugging along. In that village now, there is a well that all of the villagers used to hate him comes to that well to get water. And you want to see something? Show us the picture. There is the building right there. Hallelujah. There is the building that Christopher has built without any help from anybody, just the saints in that church. God cares. I said God cares. Let's raise our hands and thank him for it right now. Hallelujah. 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 Does God care? Oh, yes, God cares. The storm was raging. The little ship was full of water. They were going under. But Jesus woke up and the storm calmed down. But not only did the people in the boat that Jesus was in, not only did they feel the effect, but the people in the other little boats around got the same effect. Because you know what? When God touches you, he touches your friends, he touches your family, and there's blessings. Does God care? Oh, yes, God cares. Let's all stand together right now. I had some more testimonies. Hallelujah. Sister Grace, show me the picture of whatever the next one was. Oh, I know what it was. It was a little child in Fiji. That child, I'm not telling the whole story, was in the morgue, dead in Fiji. Was in the morgue. But there was a nurse there from our church. And they went in that place and prayed for that little boy. Hallelujah. And you know what? There he is with the missionaries. Next picture. Hallelujah. There he is. God raised him from the dead. And God touched them. And you know what they did? Show the next picture. Hallelujah. You know what they did? They were baptized in Jesus' name. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost. Because God cares. We don't have time to give the details. Show the next picture. Hallelujah. Of the lady in Thailand. The lady in Thailand that was bitten by a cobra and she should have died and her foot rotted off. But there she is because God miraculously touched her and healed her. Does God care? You can take it off. Yes, God cares. Yes, God cares. Let's raise our hands. Lord Jesus, I come into your presence right now and I pray that you'll touch every person that's here today. God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. God, in your name right now, reach out and touch my brother, God. In the name of Jesus, you know what they need. Do you have a need in your life? Do you know somebody that has a need? Would you make your way to the altar and say, God, you know what my life is. You know what I need, and I'm asking you to touch me right now. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God understands and he knows. I said, God understands and he knows, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch my sister right now, God, and anoint her. You understand and you know. I'm asking you to reach out and touch her right now in Jesus' name. God, let her know that you love her and you care for her, God. I pray and ask God for my sister right now in the name of Jesus. Reach out and touch her. Saints, would you come and help us pray? God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God loves and he cares for you, God, in the name of Jesus. If you need a touch from God, he's here to supply your need. Let's raise our hands and worship him right now, God, in your name. I pray for every person that is here right now. Let them know that there's hope in you, Jesus, for whatever they have need of. I pray that you will bless them right now, God, and you will touch them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
For me.
God, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray, be led by the Holy Ghost. If you feel led to go pray with someone, let's find someone and pray for them right now. You don't know what they're going through, but allow the Spirit of God to touch them right now in Jesus' name.
And all of the sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are, how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
Come on, if there's anybody else back there, you need hope, you need God to do something, come on, step out of where you are and get to this front right now. Come on. Come on, there's others in here that need something from Him. Don't stand back there and wait. But make your way to this altar right now. In the name of Jesus, come on.
Like a hurricane, I am a tree.
Don't be inhibited by that. Don't stand back there because you say, I don't know anybody. Come on, you need to get out from where you are.
And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are, how great your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us, how He loves us so. And He is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a beautiful kiss. My heart burns violently inside of my chest. Regret when I think about the way
He loves us.